pressing day. And there's a lot of things gone on in the past few months, few weeks, and few days that do not make us feel any better. We happen to be living in a time, that's 2 Peter for y'all, that hard of hearing, 2 Peter, I see some of you are trying to figure out where to go. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're living in a time to where now good is called bad and bad is called good. We're living in a time to where the prosperity is really abundant, and yet nobody appreciates it. And we're living in a time to where the church is compromising, and by that there's no respect for the house of God or the people of God and the Word of God. We live in a time to where lunatics are being inspired. They're being inspired. And then when they do what they're inspired to do, it's turned around and blamed on people like us. And people walking into Walmart and shooting and killing. Then they blame it on us and what we preach. We don't preach hate. We preach love. And then walking over somewhere else, 9 was killed yesterday. People just walking in, shooting. And they want to blame it on law-abiding citizen and Christianity and things like that. Well, it's a hard time. It's a hard time. So maybe you're wondering what's going to happen. So if you just read the Bible, God has a design for everything. God has a design for everything. You look at yourself. God designed that. There's no accident in that flesh. You look at the trees. The designer made that. The sun, the designer made that. The times we live in, the designer made them. And it's all going to one place that he has designed. So I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the design of the future. Now, I know what we see right now, but this ain't the end. Okay? Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, if you will. We'll read the whole chapter. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. I've never seen so much biblical ignorance as the day we live in. By the way, that's why it's important to get your kids in Sunday school. We don't want them to be part of that crowd. They're willingly, their own purpose, ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. In other words, 1,000 years ago is just like yesterday to the Lord. And 1,000 years from now is like tomorrow to the Lord. Time means nothing to God. That's only on us. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's not holding back. He's not slack. He hadn't forgot. He hadn't overlooked it. He's not slack according to his promise. Now, do y'all get that? It ain't like he don't see this stuff. He's not slack. We are. He's not. Okay? Now, look at verse 9 again. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Well, since he didn't do it yesterday, they think he ain't never going to do it.
Right.
That's the way men look at it. But is long-suffering to us, Lord. we're still here 2019 years later because he's long suffering. He's long suffering. Not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But that all should come to repentance. You're going to have to repent to be saved. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, the buildings, the houses, everything that's been made, that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. That means everything in outer space. It'll be dissolved. You see that? And the elements, that's what you're standing on, that's what you're sitting on, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. Now look at this. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're grieving today because of unrighteousness. But there's a world coming not going to have any unrighteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Wide awake, that means. That you may be found of him in peace, without spot, don't have any sin on you, and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, or they wrestle with these things they don't understand, see. As they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. That's that crowd says, well, if God is love, why did he let that happen? That's that crowd said, well, if God is love, why did he let people be born sick and things like that? They're wrestling with things they don't understand to their own destruction. It means they won't believe because they can't understand God. Well, you ain't never going to understand God completely. Now, therefore, beloved, seeing you know all these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, they've influenced you the wrong way, the error of the wicked. You remember what I told you wicked means? You got a candle, it's got a wick in it, little threads, they twisted them together. Wicked people twist things, they twist truth, they twist lies. They twist the word of God. That's wicked. Wicked. That's where that word comes from. Lest ye being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. Backslide. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now there's a design for the future. We're going to look at it in just a minute. And if you're not saved today, I hope you'll wake up. If you are saved, I hope some will wake up if they're saved. You've been led astray by the wicked. Look at verse 10. That'll be our text verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Means you're not expecting it. Now this is not the rapture of the church. This is 7 years after the rapture of the church. Actually, this is at the end of the millennial reign, so it's 1,007 years. Now, the next thing on God's calendar is the trumpet of sound, the dead in Christ to be raised, and then those of us who are alive and remain believers will be called up, will be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. We'll go up with them. We'll spend 7 years up there with him at the judgment seat of Christ. Our judgment of our works, not our salvation, but our works will reward. Will they burn up or we get rewarded? But we'll still be saved. At the end of the judgment, we'll go to the marriage supper. We'll be the bride. The bride, he's the bridegroom. I told Brother Rick he'd be a good looking bride. And the bride's missing today, runaway bride. And but then at the end of that, we come back with him riding white horses. And he's going to rule and reign with us for 1,000 years. He's going to take over planet Earth. And he's going to make people do right. And there's going to be people born then that don't trust Christ. He'll be ruling, but they don't trust him as their Savior. They're just doing what he says because he's ruling from Israel, and he's going to have to give them an opportunity to be saved. And after he gives them an opportunity to be saved and they reject him, then the end comes. Then that's what we're talking about here, about the end of the world. That's when God himself will roll back the heavens, all the stars, Jupiter, Mars, Venus, Pluto, those outer stars we know nothing about that they make up stories for us, you know, so they can keep their government grants. And y'all like that, didn't you? And all that's going to be rolled back, like a scroll, it says. It's going to be pushed back out of the way. And it says the earth itself, this right here, and everything in it, what we're sitting on, the buildings, everything, are going to melt with a fervent heat. And people talk about nuclear bombs. Nuclear bomb won't melt this earth. It'll just blow holes in it. I mean, you can't destroy this earth. I don't care what the climate changers say. You can't destroy planet earth. Only God can do that. There's not anything powerful enough to destroy planet earth. It renews itself over and over and over and over. But that's another sermon. But all that's going to melt. All that's going to melt. We're going to be standing out in the middle of eternity. Standing in eternity. No planet, no stars. We're going to be behind the great white throne, and the unsaved will be in front of the great throne. There'll be a great judgment. And that's where those that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and by the way, none of them are. But he's going to have to show them. He's going to show them, and then he's going to judge them according to their works, not for reward, but for punishment in hell. Some people be punished more than others. God wouldn't be righteous if he punished everybody the same. Hitler is some little old guy that just never got saved, but he's a pretty good guy. And so God's going to take care of that. Now, we are closer to that than we've ever been. And you say, well, preacher, we don't have to worry about it. It's that far away. Yeah, but the design of the future is what I just told you. If we see that now, and we do see that. I'm going to show you in just a minute. We see these things right now, what's going on. And if we see it that now, don't you think we're so much more closer to the rapture of the church? And that puts us closer to the judgment seat of Christ. And that puts us closer to the millennial reign. And that puts us closer to the end of the world altogether. And he's warning the church. He's telling them about this so they can see what the future holds. Now, people walk into Walmart and they start shooting people. Muslims blow up bridges. They chop people's heads off. And boy, we think they're winning and the world's over and it's going to hell in a handbasket. I've got news for you. God has a design for everything. God didn't wake up one day and say, uh-oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is with the day. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. There's no surprise in him. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but number one, look at verse 1 through 7. In verse 1, he says this, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." He wrote this to stir them up. Now, it's hard to stir people up now. Yes, it is. It is. It's hard to stir. When people were simple and life was simple and there wasn't all the gadgets and all the TVs and live-eye everything, people were stirred easier than they're stirred now. You let your kids sit around and play those video games where they're killing people and chopping people's head off and blowing people up. And, it's hard to stir that kid up. They're mesmerized. They're hypnotized. Yes. They've been twisted.
Come on now. Yep.
You might end up with a boy living in your spare room until he's 40 years old and he goes buy him a gun and goes down at Walmart. Yeah. You better watch out. It's hard to stir Christians up. It used to be I could preach on hell. People would weep. They'd cry. They'd fall out on the altar. They'd weep for their loved ones. They'd go back and drag their children to the altar and pray over them and beg them to get saved. And now I preach on hell and people barely bat an eye and barely move. The Word of God's not changed. The Holy Ghost is not changed. God himself's not changed. The Savior's not changed. But the church has changed. And he's saying, stop yourself. This ought to stir us up. The end is approaching. And we see it. Look at verse 3 and 4. knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. In other words, they're living wickedly and loving it. And LGBTQ, RSVP, or whatever else you want to put on there, that's the crowd he's talking about. And he says, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Look at this. For since the fathers, our ancestors, fell asleep, died. Y'all still with me, young people? Look up here. I ain't said pray. Look up here. Look. Since our fathers died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They're saying nothing's different. Man's the same. He's always been the same. Everything's the same. Nothing's changed. Where is this promise of God coming back and setting up his kingdom or making a new world? Where is that? What's happening with that? And they scoff us and they make fun of us and they mock the church and you sit at home and watch their TV show. And you buy their DVDs or download their music. Or you find a Christian singer that sounds just like them and looks just like them, and you get theirs because it makes you feel like a Christian. He said, I wrote this to stir you up. Now, I'm a pastor. I know y'all don't think like I do. I think this every day, all day long. This is me. The church, the people, the preaching, the Bible, all this stuff is me all day long. I can't help it. But every once in a while, it seemed like somebody would get stirred up besides the preacher. And the preacher, he'll get up, the pastor, he'll weep and he'll cry for your children. And he'll weep and he'll cry for your grandchildren. And he'll weep and cry for husbands and wives and brothers and sisters and things like that. And it seems like nobody gets stirred up anymore. I'm going to tell you something. When I got saved, I made up my mind. My family wasn't going to hell.
Amen.
If I had to scream, if I had to holler, if I had to fuss, if I had to fight, if I had to cry, if I had to give up jobs and change jobs, my youngins wasn't going to hell.
Amen.
And they wasn't running around with the crowd that was going to hell either.
Amen, yes.
You ask my daughter sitting right there, she'll tell you. We had people over our house, some young people, and they might be lost people, but we at least got them in church. We wouldn't have, they wouldn't hang around with that wicked crowd. Some of y'all ought to get stirred up about your children. I'm talking about those 25, 30-year-old children, too.
Yeah.
He said, let me ask something. What does it take to stir you up?
Amen.
Music? Now they go to church and they dance and they it looks like a nightclub and they go home and now stinking things change because that won't stir you up. All that does is stir your flesh. And it only lasts as long as the drum's beating. You know why we don't have that stuff in here? It doesn't last. We first come here, they had electric drum set. I can't even play a regular drum set. What would we do with electric drums? They're out there in the building if y'all want to buy them. What are we going to do with that? Stir up the flesh. That's all. Now, I'm not against good music. I know there's orchestra music and they have all kinds of instruments. But if you're, if the only thing that stirs up your religion is the African drum beat, you might need to get saved. I wrote this to stir you up. Well, preacher, I wouldn't preach like that. That's what most of them say.
Amen.
Look at verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of. The word of God. Now, that's the derision that we're in today. We've got scoffers. You can't stir up Christians anymore.
Amen.
And we've got willingly ignorant people. The church is full today of people who don't want to know anything other than how to be saved. That's all they want to know. Don't tell me no more because I want to run with this crowd and they're not saved. And I don't want you to tell me not to do that. And I want to drink this. And I want you to tell me not to drink that. And I want to smoke this. And I don't want you to willingly ignorant of things that, by the way, you'll give account of whether you're ignorant of them or not. I was fixing to say, Hall Road, you ever been pulled over by a policeman? I know you. Unless it's going below the speed limit. But you've been pulled over, though, haven't you? Your wife's been pulled over. The man never did open the book and say, do you understand the law that you just broke? No, he says, you broke the law. I'm writing you a ticket, baby. Amen? Look up here, son. We ain't praying. Clinton, look up here. We ain't praying. That hair ain't that pretty. Come on. Listen. Willingly. I don't want to be willingly ignorant. Now, I've been ignorant in my life. I know I'm still ignorant about some things. I can't cook. I'm ignorant. You can cook, I can tell by looking at you. A lot of y'all can't cook. I can tell by looking at you because you eat out all the time. That stuff's full of junk. But anyway, I'm ignorant of cooking. But what I don't want to be ignorant of is the Word of God. Because I'm going to give account for every word that's in that book. Well, preacher, I never read it. You're still going to give account. I'd read it if I were you. The generation we're living in shows me we're closer to the second coming and the end of this world, the day of God, it says, not day of Lord, but the day of God, the melding with a fervent heat. We're that much closer to the rapture. We're that much closer to the judgment seat of Christ. We're that much closer to the bride and the groom at the marriage feast. And we're that much closer to the 1,000-year reign. So that means we're that much closer to the very end. Amen. Willingly ignorant. Well, preacher, why the delay? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. He said, now if you're ignorant of a lot of things, don't let this be one of them. Don't be ignorant of this one thing. The day, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Number one, there's no time with God. There is no delay. If there is no clock, there's no delay. If there's no time, there's no delay. And if God has a design for everything, He has a design for the future, there's certainly not a delay because He changes not. It's coming. It's coming. Now, He promised in verse 9. Now, there's not one promise in the Bible that He's ever come short of. Now, I'll tell you something, and it'll turn to a lie sometime. I'll say, I'm going to do it. I forget. It ain't a lie. It's just old. Okay, being old. You know, being old. But sometimes I'll tell you I do something, then I forget it, or I just don't do it. But God ain't like that.
Amen.
If He says He's going to do it, He's going to do it. You can take it to the bank.
Yes.
He's not slack concerning His promise. He's not even going to be late on it. You won't have to ask Him twice. You know why the delay? He's not willing that any should perish. You know, some of you in here, you were saved from a terrible lifestyle. Some of you were saved from religion. Some of you young people never been saved. Some of you say you're saved. You ain't even saved enough to get baptized. Don't tell me you're saved if you won't even get baptized. That's the first confession of faith right there in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But there's all kind of people. And look, if it was me or another Baptist preacher, we'd probably just kill you and go ahead and cast you off into hell. But God's not long like that. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Like a good parent, we're long-suffering. We don't want to whip them. But we will if that's what it takes. And that's the way God is. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means turn to Him. It doesn't mean quit anything or start anything. It just says turn around and put it on me. And because of that, they said, well, it's been like this since the beginning. And it talked about the flood and before the flood. But He's given us time to rescue us like He rescued Noah and his family. Noah preached while he was building that ark. Begging people to come to God. Telling them of the judgment that was about to fall. And they laughed at him. And they mocked him. They made fun of him. And they didn't come. But God gave them time to come. And right now, God's giving people time to come to Jesus Christ. I believe the trumpet is just about to blow for the rapture. I believe old Gabriel's standing on the edge of a cloud right now saying, now Lord, now Lord, look at that Lord, now Lord, look at that, Lord, Lord, now. He said not even the angels in heaven know when He's going to do it. Don't you think that? That's pretty vivid imagination, but I can kind of see that. You know, Gabriel's going to, and Jesus is going to say, come up hither. And I can see old Gabriel up there and I said, Lord, 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 I got the horn. Did you see yesterday? Did you see the news? But Lord, Lord, the dial. He said, no, I'm going to wait just a little bit longer. There's one more. And one day, that last one is going to say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And I think before he gets the prayer out, or she gets the prayer out, he's going to say, now, Gabriel, da-da-da! We'll be out of here. He's long-suffering. Boy, I'm glad. I didn't grow up in church, didn't know anything about God. For 3 years, God convicted me of my sin, night and day. 3 years. I remember it vividly. I'd come home, drink Country Club beer on Sunday morning, turn the TV on real quiet. I worked third shift. Some of my wife's kids wouldn't hear me. And I'd watch The Chaplain of Bourbon Street, and I'd sit there and cry. I'd watch Dr. E.J. Daniels, that old, ain't no more like him, that old-fashioned Southern Baptist evangelist. And I'd sit there and I'd listen to him, and I'd cry. And I'd listen to Dr. Ralph Sexton up there in Asheville, and I'd listen to him preach, and I'd sit there and I'd cry. For 3 years, he disturbed my sleep. For 3 years, he convicted me over and over and over. And the few times I went to church, I think it was about 5 during that time, every time the preacher preached, brother, he was pointing right at me. That's the Holy Ghost of God giving me time to get saved. He didn't have to do that. He's long-suffering. Now, some of you young people, you need to get saved. Yes. God's calling you, and He's calling you, and He's calling you, and you can't get in on your mama or your grandma's religion. God don't have any adopted children. He has all of us adopted children, but He doesn't have any stepchildren. And He doesn't have any grandchildren. You're going to get born again like we did, or you're not born. And He's giving you time to get saved. But you'd rather run with the scoffers. Look at verse 10. I'm about through. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? In all holy conversation, that's old word means lifestyle and godliness, looking for. But not only looking, look at this, and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. Now, he says everything will melt then. Everything we put our lives into will be gone. That job you think so much of, it'll be gone. That paper you called, by the way, they ain't got the paper in the bank no more. I went down there to the bank one day. I said, can y'all just bring me my money out here and let me look at it? I just want to look at my money. I like to smell it. You ever smell money? I said, y'all take my money and give me this stinking card. I don't know if you got my money or not. I just want to look at it. They laughed at me. And one of them said, We can't do that. I said, why not? She said, it ain't here. I said, I've been putting it in here for years. Where's it at? She said, it's in the computer. That's scary, ain't it? That's scary. All those things we work for is going to be burned up. All those things you put so much value in will be burned up. Poor or rich, it'll make no difference. Because of that,
if we were really stirred up, how would we live? Holy and God in this present evil world is how we would live. If we really thought people were going to burn up and go to hell, we'd live different. If we really thought everything that we're investing our lives in was going to be burned up, we would change the things we invest our lives in. You parents, you put more time in your children than you do that house. Come on, don't get quiet now. You grandparents, if you'd have put more time in your children than other things, then you probably wouldn't be raising your grandchildren. Come on, help me. Sometimes I look at my grandchildren and I think, boy, I should have spent more time with my daughter. Because she's got to raise them now. And so I'm running around. You know, we run around catching them. Run around and catch. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? If we really believed everything's going to burn up that we're investing our lives in, we would live holy and godly. Because, see, we don't know when it's going to happen.
That's right.
Wouldn't it be bad if on Sunday night the trumpet sounded? About two-thirds of people calling themselves Baptists would be at home watching television. Now, I can't be real good, but I guarantee you, if the trumpet ever sounds this time of church, he'll catch me in church. Amen. Ooh, man, I saw that. Fiery darts. Let me tell you something. If we really got stirred up, we'd look for a new place. Verse 13, he's going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. If we really believe that the day of the Lord is about to come, we'd look for the new place and not spend so much time worrying about the old place. Now, y'all listen to me because of what happened this week. I want to tell you something. Is this thing working? Listen. There'll be a lot of people this week making some real pious speeches. There'll be a lot of people this week going to sound real religious. And there's going to be a lot of so-called religious leaders come out of the woodwork. But you won't find many living godly and holy. And they'll turn around and blame this stuff on guns. And they'll blame it on the white right. Or the religious fanatics. Or the southerners. They're going to blame it on everything. But it's God's design. It's the age that we live in. And it's a heart problem. It's not anything else. If that man was influenced by us, he wouldn't have done that. If that man was influenced by the Bible, he wouldn't have went in there. Both of them wouldn't have went in there and done that. And I said that to say this. We need to stir up in remembrance what God's done for us so we'll invest it in our children, our grandchildren, so they don't end up doing crazy things like that. That boy wasn't raised in a Christian home. His daddy never taught him Proverbs. I guarantee you, if he went to church, it wasn't the right kind. Amen. He didn't learn that in Sunday school. By the way, what's yours learning in Sunday school? Hey, he didn't learn that from that old-fashioned, fire-breathing preacher that they make fun of.
One day it's all going to melt. But thank God.
Amen. There's a new day coming.
Praise God.
I preached a funeral. This young man visited my church a couple times years and years and years ago. And I, by the way, I said at Sunday school, I got to quit doing this. I look like Bernie Sanders when I do all that. But I'm going to put my hands in my pockets. I ain't taking them out no more. And, but this old boy, He came to my church. He made a profession of faith.
I'm doing that for Bernie.
Listen. He made a profession of faith. He never got baptized. Y'all young people, listen to this. He professed to believe on Christ one day at the church. He never got baptized. He never came to Sunday school. He never joined the church. His life never changed. We hardly ever saw him anymore. He died probably 10 years later. Drugs killed him. He died. His mother asked me to come preach his funeral. And I did. I'll preach anybody's funeral. Listen to me. Matthew, you listen. So I went down and preached his funeral home. And they sang this song. They sang this song. They sang rock song. They had CDs. They sang rock song. By the way, if I'm preaching a funeral, don't play a lot of rock song. And that don't comfort nobody. I mean, you want to play Highway to Hell and you wasn't said, no, you didn't even know if they were saved or not. And they played this, and the song kept saying, no hope. No hope. It was talking about the ills of the world and the ills of society. No hope. No hope. And I'm sitting there thinking, this boy never done anything but make one profession. It never changed his life. He never got in church. His mama's never been faithful to church. They don't live like Christians at home. There probably is no hope for this young man. But I didn't say that. It ain't my job. He's gone. I was there to preach to the living, not the dead. So when that song got through, I thought, how am I going to preach behind that heathen, ungodly, wicked music? And the Lord gave it to me. I got up there and I said, you know what? That song was right. Without Jesus Christ in this present world, there is no hope. And I said, it takes more than a profession to be born again and go to heaven. You're going to have to be saved. You can't make a profession. You got to get the possession. Invite Him into your heart. And when you do that, it'll change your life. And I said that to say this. Look at verse 17 and 18, and I'll quit. Verse 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, you already know what I'm preaching to you. Beware. Young people, beware! Amen. Lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now you young people, I know what you're reading. I know what your mom and dad don't know. I don't know if they care or not, but they don't know. You got that stupid phone. They don't know that's internet accessible everywhere it goes. You're looking at things. You're reading things. They're not good for you. If you was mine, you wouldn't have a phone until you could work, but that's another sermon. But I'd look at your phone every day to see what you've been looking at. And you wouldn't have a computer in your room with the door shut. And you wouldn't have an iPad without me checking the history on it every day. Don't come in here acting like you're so great. You got your mom and dad fooled. You ain't got God fooled. You have been led astray. And that rainbow does not stand for homosexual sodomites. It stands for a promise of God that He's coming back again to reclaim this world. Don't tell me if your favorite singer is spewing out profanity. Let me tell you something. And you like that, you ain't saved. If that favorite little hussy you watch on the video strips off her clothes almost all the time and sings about sex, you ain't saved. You've been led astray if you are. When we got saved, God turned us all the way around, brother. We went home and emptied the place. We changed everything. We became new creatures. But the age we're living in, all that sounds like a fanatic. We're bad people because we say that. But you've been led astray. He's coming. And He's coming in all His glory and all His power. And we're going to see who God is. He's angry with the wicked every day. He hates sin. He hates it. He hates it when they live it, and he hates it when we do it. He hates it. They don't hate the sinner. He hates sin. He loves the sinner. But God can't wink at your sin just because you claim to be a Christian. He can't wink at mine. God chastens those who believe on him. He whips us like a good father would. See, here's what's happening. Gradually, little by little, that crowd's pecking. That TV, that radio, that internet, they're just pecking at everything you believe. And pretty soon you get embarrassed by what the Bible says and what you believe. And pretty soon, you young people, you get embarrassed by your parents because they're trying to live that way. And you get embarrassed by your grandparents because they're trying to live that way. And you don't invite people to church because you're ashamed of what this church preaches and teaches. And the world's just pecking away, pecking away. And pretty soon, you're led astray completely. It don't take but a little bit here. And a little bit, and you just keep backing up on what you're supposed to believe, till finally one day you won't even believe he's coming again.
Right.
I see.
We need to make some decisions. If this is true, there is an end, and there is a God that's going to judge this world in righteous judgment. And that is going to destroy the wicked.
Yeah.
We need to do like Joshua and make some decisions.
Right.
Draw a line in the sand. Look at your children. Look at your grandchildren. Look at your in-laws. And tell them, say, "As for me and my house, here's the line. We'll serve the Lord. If you want to be with us, come on over here. We're not coming over here anymore.
Amen.
If your birthday party's got liquor, we ain't going to be there." Yeah. If your children's rebellious and they look like weirdos and everything else, and I'm not bringing my children over there. They can come over here where I can watch them, but we're not listening to that stuff. We're not following that stuff. As for me and my house, and talk bad about us, do whatever you want to.
Yeah.
But the end's coming.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be ready. My family's going to be in the boat with me.
Amen.
Still with me?
Yes.
Start drawing some lines. Stop backing up. I put you in remembrance. Boy, if we could just get churches back to the old-fashioned way. Think what would happen in this country with a good president in there. Think what could happen. God needs us to send us another great awakening in this land. And it ain't going to be had by those little pretty boys running up and down this country, stirring up people. What it's going to be had by is when my people, which are called by my name, shall turn from their wicked ways. He said, "I'll bless them again. And I'll heal their land." And today our land needs healing. And it's going to have to start one house at a time. One person at a time. And I don't have to make those decisions. I made those decisions a long time ago. Now my decision is, I shall not be moved.
Yes, praise God.
I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Now they're going to talk bad about us all this coming week.
Yes.
They're going to talk bad about the real church. And they'll get some guy in a frock with his collar backwards to get up there and pray for him, or some Muslim. But I'm not changing. I'm not backing up. I'm not giving up. You young people, listen to me. If you're embarrassed at this church, you'll always be embarrassed at this church. We're not going to change. If you're not saved, he's waiting on you. The only reason he hasn't sounded the trumpet yet is because of you. He wants you to be saved. Come on, stand up. Father, thank you for the word of God.